Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hello, friends. It's Giff Briner here, another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave Colonen. He's the chaplain of Cumberland Valley Christian Radio. Dave, it's good to see you, my friend. You always have a powerful word to share with us about the scriptures that we unfold today. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We were talking about the Holy Spirit here just yesterday, and it just really left me thinking solid. Your words of inspiration are one that puts us all to thinking real hard about our lives, and that's what our program should do. You know, the Holy Spirit is grieved by wrong conversation and conduct. That is a very powerful thought. You mentioned it briefly, and I think we can come up with an entire program on that subject, or at least most of the program, because the Holy Spirit is holy, and words matter to Him. Conversation is important to Him, and your conduct and behavior is monitored continuously by the Holy Spirit. He will draw His manifest presence when He has been grieved or offended, and that is why the Apostle Paul wrote this remarkable warning. I'm going to read a passage from Ephesians chapter 4. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use in edifying, that is, that it may be ministered by grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all your malice, and be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Those are some powerful words, and that's the point that we're trying to make, that the Holy Spirit is grieved by wrong conversation, the very words out of your mouth. Any untrue words that wound the influence of someone not present are disloyal words, and disloyalty is unholy. It is so important that you permit the Holy Spirit to correct you and prevent you from saying anything that is grievous to Him. His presence must be valued. His presence being joy, peace, calmness in spirit, and you cannot afford a day without His presence. Dave, when we start reading material to research these subjects, I run into some very powerful things. And I have two paragraphs here that I thought were so good that I read in a book that I want to just read it because he says it so well. Let me read this brief story. I will never forget a conversation in Washington, D.C. I came down from my hotel room full of joy and enthusiasm. I had been praying in the Spirit throughout the day. I could not remember being happier any hour or any day in my life. When I sat down to eat, the name of someone came up. I was talking with two of my staff members when his name came up, and I made a statement. I like the young man, but he is rather lazy. The conversation continued, and after about 1 hour, I returned to my hotel room. But something was wrong. As I began to lift my hands and sing to the Holy Spirit, a cloud of heaviness settled into my heart. Something was out of order. So, not knowing what was wrong, I simply began to sing louder and became more aggressive in my worship. The heaviness in my spirit remained. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. Why did you tell them that this man was lazy? I stopped. Then I replied, almost defiant, to the Holy Spirit. Well, because he is lazy. You have offended me, the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart. I thought for a moment, then I replied, well, he did not hear me anyway. He is over 1,000 miles away. I heard you, and you offended me. I tried another approach. Well, Lord, it is true that he is lazy, and I would be willing to tell him that to his face. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit stopped me with a powerful understanding. He brought my mind to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where he gave us the criteria and guidelines for proper conversation. Is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it good report? Is it virtuous? Are the things praiseworthy? As he began to deal with my life, my heart began to break. I realized that I had spoken in a destructive way about someone who was precious to him. If something does not qualify for meditation, it does not qualify for conversation. If it does not qualify for my mind, it does not qualify for my mouth. You should remember that story forever. I'm not sure who wrote it, but it is a very good story. It wasn't me. I can't take the credit for that. But picture a mother showing you a photograph of her baby. Can you imagine her response to you if you began to sneer and make fun of the child? Oh, what an ugly child. I despise that child. Well, that mother would withdraw with you from instantly, right? You would never see it happen in your own life every day. The moment you begin to discuss the flaws of those not present, the Holy Spirit will be withdrawn from you. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge your offense. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. When one of my staff members approached me, I asked what the appointment would be about. She wanted to talk about another staff member. Then let's call her in to hear your accusations against her. I reached for the phone. Oh, no, 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 no. I don't want her to hear what I am saying. Just forget about it. You see, imagine every church that would focus on 12 months only on encouraging conversation about others. Imagine your family if every person would only speak well of each other. You see, we have been taught to say good things about people because they might find out about it. But that is not the only reason you must avoid wrong conversation. Others warn, what goes around comes back around. That too is not a reason for avoiding destructive words about others. You see, the Holy Spirit is the reason you should avoid accusations and unflattering conversation about others. He withdraws. His absence creates sorrow and heaviness of spirit. Always remember, the Holy Spirit is grieved by wrong conversation and conduct. David, in your many, many years of working with other people so closely as you did and when you were singing with the carriers, I would imagine you had many opportunities for disappointment, and disappointment makes it easy to complain about others. Do you have any recommendations how our listeners might be able to avoid that pitfall of putting other people down?
Well, you got to be careful about how you critique your moments in life. Every time we get up in the morning, we begin to live our life, and the phone rings, and pretty soon we're talking, and it's important that the conversations that you speak every day on the phone, that's probably the biggest place on your computer. Those are the things that have become very important. And while you're trying to work out in your life, you must remember that the things that come out of your mouth are sometimes more important than other people. It all depends on who you are and what you say. Some of you that go to church every week and you get to know the church, you get to know the people, and all of a sudden you're being critical of the pastor's message and you didn't like the way the choir sang that day. Those are moments that you need before you speak. Ask the Holy Spirit, is this what I want to say? And you know, most of the time, the Holy Spirit will stop you in your tracks. You know, the chaos that comes to the church is when everybody talks about each other. And we all have things that we don't like about each other and things that we do like about each other. We can find the good and the bad in anybody. We are good at that. That's a part of our life. I can tell you what's good in them and what's bad in them. I've been around them a long time. But sometimes we must critique every moment that we are going to move our lives towards somebody or towards the church so that the church can continue on. I recognize, you know, we were speaking about our church, our new church that we're building in the future when we get the money. When you are beginning to say, we're going to be the church that never sleeps. You know, that really brings up everything in everybody's life that they ever thought about. What are you talking about, church that never sleeps? Are you all going to stay up all night and wait for somebody to ring the doorbell or make the phone call? Well, there's a lot to that. And if we are not sleeping on the job and we are willing to do something for someone who calls, you realize that how many people do not know what to do with the Holy Spirit. They don't know what to do about God. In Dillsburg alone, we have 17,000 people that live in the zip code.
Wow.
Only 4,000 of them go to church. We have like 10, 11,000 people that don't go to church. You talk about the Holy Spirit. They're saying, what is that? They don't even know what God is. They don't know what the church is all about. They wouldn't go there if you paid them. And I wake up every Sunday morning saying, oh, God, what can we do to help these people find success in life? They found it in their money and in the home in which they've built, in the car they drive. But, boy, you know, the world is in chaos right now, and we cannot afford to be a part of that. We have to get ourselves in order concerning the things of God because we're closing in on the age. And Jesus is going to come back for his church. And if you're not in the church, you're going to be left behind. It'll be the biggest tragedy of your life. And the Holy Spirit nudges you every time you think you are free. He'll just push you a little bit and say, how about this? How about that? What are you going to do about this? Where are you going? Why are you doing that? And why did you do that last week? Your children, look at them. They're following you in your footsteps. The Holy Spirit has a hard time with over 10,000 people in Dillsburg. I'm saying, if I have an opportunity to say something to you, get up, get out of bed, and get to church. And don't let it be just Easter. Some of you won't go to church now until Christmas. What's wrong? What's happened? You're waiting for some special occasion to bring you to church? Always has to be something special. Your kids are singing or your grandkids are going to do something in the church and then you'll go. And the Holy Spirit is more powerful than that. When he nudges you, it explodes in your heart and you have to refuse him completely. You have to get up and stand up and say, keep quiet, I don't need you. And boy, that's going to be tough at the end when you have to stand before God. God will play that back to you. And say, did you, here it is. You don't have to tell me you said it. I got it here on tape. Those are tough words, but man, when you're a preacher of the gospel and you see the town crumbling, Dillsburg area, it could be the greatest area in the world. It's got some great people. It's got some great churches. They're just empty. And we need to follow the calling that comes. Maybe that's why we're on radio today. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is saying, Giff and Dave, why don't you talk to our people in the Dillsburg area today? Tell them that they need the Lord. They need the Holy Spirit to guide them and to fall right in line with what God's Word is saying to us today. It's going to happen. It's not that far away when things are going to change on the earth. We can't go through all this chaos forever. There's coming a day when Jesus will fix it, and you better be on the right side.
Thank you, my friend. You're quite inspirational, and I know your heart is in the Dillsburg area, but it's just as true in Carlisle or Louisville or New Bloomfield or Camp Hill or Hershey or Palmyra or Lebanon or York or Mechanicsburg. It's true every place that we need people to feel the Holy Spirit and become involved in their chapter, in their local church today, and not waiting for a funeral or a wedding or your grandchildren to be singing. Follow Dave's advice and make sure that you listen to the Holy Spirit and make sure that you do attend the church of your choice this Sunday. Because the Holy Spirit does critique every moment, all of your motives throughout your entire life. Thank you for sharing that thought, David. You were quite correct. The Holy Spirit studies all of us individually. Your motives are continuously monitored and evaluated. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at the heart. That's written in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. You see, the Apostle Paul mentioned that our works would be evaluated by God's standards, not our standards. Our own works would burn up like wood and stubble unless we have the right attitude. ye see eternity will reward those with a pure heart. That's what Dave was alluding to just a moment ago. You will be accountable for your words and for your actions and for your deeds, and it's all being recorded. You see, the Holy Spirit watches for moments to lift your burden when you are too stressed. How about this reading from Psalms 55? Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's Psalms 55, verse 22. You know, he did this for the Ethiopians, so he can certainly do it for us. The Holy Spirit tests your appetite and pursuit of him. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and did seek God. Psalms chapter 53, verse 2 reads that way. You see, the Holy Spirit looks upon you to find a reason to bless you. Always remember, the Holy Spirit critiques every moment, every motive, and every moment of your life. So remember to stay positive and look for all of the good things in people, in life, in the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the jobs you have, the words you speak. Make sure that the Holy Spirit has helped guide you through all of those decisions. David, my friend, do you have any final thoughts on that subject before we move on to the next area?
I want to talk about the dangerous side. Well, we're talking about the good side of the Holy Spirit. Everything that we talked about has been good. Good, 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 yes. good. Do this and... But there's a dangerous side.
Okay.
The dangerous side... To become the enemy of the Holy Spirit because of rebellion in his heart. That makes the Holy Spirit very, very upset. The Holy Spirit is an example of cooperation, an agreement. He stays in agreement with our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. That's his trademark. Anything that brings conflict, angers the Holy Spirit. He really is the Spirit of peace. He is the Spirit of love. He is the Spirit of Christ. Where are we on time? I just can't even...
You're good. Go ahead, Dave. Okay. You're making good sense. You're putting this all together.
I just want to say that the Holy Spirit responds to rebellion. It says in Isaiah, but they rebelled and vexed the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. The Holy Spirit woos us and draws us to him. He is merciful. He's gentle. He's kind. He's patient. He's long-suffering. And, brother, it's a fatal and deadly day when the Holy Spirit is finally vexed. You don't want that in your life. You do not want that in your life. I want to pray. I'm always cautioned that we don't pray enough for our listeners and for our people that depend on us to say something right. Sometimes we need to just pray, and they will get the answer as God gives the answer out over the airwaves to everybody. So I want to pray. Holy Spirit, I'm happy. I'm happy that you know my thoughts and my ways. I'm asking you today to heal our lives, every broken area. You are the repairer of our life. You convict us when our hearts go astray. I want you to change us today, Lord. People who have turned the dial our way today and say, who are these two guys? Lord, may they realize that we are men with conviction, and we come to the Lord knowing that we could not ever heal ourselves, but you will perfect that which concerns us. In Jesus' name, I pray a prayer like this. For you that are concerned about your life and about your family and about your children and about your church, these are days when the Holy Spirit will come into your home and saturate your whole household with his sweet presence. When you sense that, when you feel that, you'll remember the day you went to the altar and asked God to come into your life. That will happen, Lord. You know that will happen in their lives. So as we pray today, minister to those who listen to us. And may they not, after we're gone, just pull away from that, but may they feel the tug in their whole life, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Thank you, my friend. You are a spiritual witness to every one of our listeners. And on their behalf, I also say thank you. The miracles and continued protection are signs of mercy from the Holy Spirit. Yet millions remain unthankful. They didn't take the time, like Dave does, to be thankful for what they have. Don't be ungrateful. Continuously complain as if no good has ever occurred in their lives. Thousands of people refuse to permit the convictions to do deep work and to be changed within them. Over a period of time, you see, the Holy Spirit can become vexed. It is almost too late for some to turn around at this point. Oh, I beg of you today, listen to the Holy Spirit. Do not turn him away. He is as gentle as a dove, but he can become the terror of eternity if you allow it to happen. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That's written in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, says that. So respond to your inner conviction and drawing. Behold, now is the acceptance time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 reads that way. So understand that the Holy Spirit can be with you all the way, but the Holy Spirit never forgets. David, my friend, we have exhausted our time once again, but you always have words of wisdom to say goodbye to our listeners. Would you share your closing thoughts with us today, please?
There's a way of offending the Holy Spirit. Ignore his word each day and you will offend God. Careless and useless conversation really grieves him. Resistance to the Holy Ghost can turn him into your enemy. And when you ignore the warnings of the Holy Spirit, there is no other source for help. Wow, that's a major statement that we're making today. God wants to help you, so reach out. Extend your voice toward heaven and receive the power of the Holy Spirit to guide you to real truth today.
Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye for now.
See you later.